Hello, this is Dr. David Friedman, host of To Your Good Health Radio. Have you ever found yourself saying, I'll just have one, and then suddenly you're staring at an empty box of cookies wondering, now what? Or has your cheat day turned into a cheat week? Well, you're certainly not alone. Today we have with us Connie Bennett here to help us unravel the mystery behind why diets fail, and more importantly, how to bounce back after you've blown it. Connie bases her insights on 7 years of meticulous research. Whether you've slipped up recently or you'd like to avoid future diet derailments, stay tuned. Today's conversation promises actionable advice, empowering insights to help you bounce back boldly to lasting weight loss and optimal health. Stay tuned. It all starts now.
It's To Your Good Health Radio with number one best-selling author and renowned wellness expert, Dr. David Friedman, changing lives just for the health of it.
Joining us next is a self-mocking former sugar and carbs addict turned certified health coach and best-selling author. Her work has been featured on Time, CBS News Sunday Morning, Oprah and Friends Radio, and in Forbes Health. After more than a decade of living sugar and gluten-free, she faced a shocking relapse of binge eating amid the grief of losing her mother. And she used that journey to write her powerful new book, I Blew My Diet, Now What? In it, she unveils the 21 most common pitfalls that derail our health goals and equips us with simple transformational tools to get back on track. As the founder of the Bounce Back Boldly Bootcamp and creator of Bounce Back Boldly Guide, she's here to help us reclaim our confidence, conquer cravings, and reach our optimal health. Welcome to the show, Connie Bennett.
Dr. Friedman, thank you so very much for having me.
Oh, so happy you could join us. Now, you're known for helping others embrace a sugar-free, gluten-free lifestyle. That was you. What inspired you now to write your new book focusing on helping people get back on the right path that have blown their diet, which so many people do?
Well, for more than a decade, I've been inspiring people to eat cleanly. And after the difficult death of my mother, I'd been with her for the last year of her life, and it was a pretty grueling time. Within, I don't know, minutes, I mean, seriously, minutes, hours after losing her, all of a sudden, I was irresistibly drawn to what I now call garbage, carb garbage, ultra-processed carbs, not sugar. And I just pigged out for just, it was pretty embarrassing because I'm a sugar and carb expert, and yet I couldn't help myself. And so I felt like such a fraud. And I felt ashamed. But then that shame propelled me to discover, well, if I'm doing this and I'm supposed to be like an expert, what about other people? How can I help them?
So you turned your mess into your message, which is great. So
yes.
Share, like, how does grief and emotional pain influence our relationship with food? Why is that so connected? We want to reach to our two best friends, Ben and Jerry, during times of turmoil. And that's not the best thing. What makes us do that?
Well, it's pretty interesting. What I discovered in my instance was I was doing what I call heartbreak binging. And people talk about the phrase emotional eating. It doesn't cover exactly what you're doing. When you lose a loved one, I mean, it's grueling. It's gut-wrenching. It's like unlike anything emotionally that you've experienced. And it's easy then to just turn to junk foods. But you're basically doing what I call heartbreak binging. So basically, once I realized, oh my goodness, I've been doing heartbreak binging, then I became fascinated. As I was what I call bouncing back boldly, I was like, okay, why else are people eating so badly? Why are millions of people overweight or obese? And I believe that's because we're overeating for one of 21 reasons. And heartbreak binging is just one of the ways that we binge.
Yeah, I know you mentioned the 21 common reasons, which very all interesting. But one point that particularly resonated with me is people's tendency to reward themselves with unhealthy foods after doing something good like exercise. It reminded me of one day being at the gym and I overheard someone on the treadmill proudly saying, I'm earning a donut on the way home. I mean, share why we can't outrun our forks and how this mindset can sabotage our diet progress.
Oh, what a thing over here at the gym. Oh my goodness. The reality of this situation is no, you do not earn that donut. Here's the thing. I think people tend to regard food as a reward, and specifically junk foods. But let's think about it. Why do we eat? We eat so we can live. We eat so we have energy, so we can concentrate, so we can perform well at work, so we can get along well with our loved ones, so we can enjoy our family and our kids. We don't eat just to stuff our faces.
That's so true. I know one statistic I found that reminded me to tell people, you know, take 750 push-ups to burn just 150 calories, yet simply skipping one soda eliminates the same number of calories. And considering the average person drinks, ready for this, 3 to 5 sodas a day, it's pretty clear you can't realistically do thousands and thousands of push-ups every day to counteract poor dietary choices. So basically, it's easier to avoid calories than to burn them off. And like you said, that guy with the donut, he'll never lose weight because he's got to be on that treadmill for 14 hours.
But what I would like to do is I would like to shift people's focus from thinking about calories to thinking about what does food do for me? Not just, is this going to make me slim or overweight, but how is it going to make me feel? And I think that connection is missing by a lot of people. So when people look at that, whatever, I mean, invite your listeners, you know, think about what their food kryptonite is. And when they eat that kryptonite, food kryptonite, how do they feel afterwards? That day, the next day, 2 days later? I discovered it myself. I mean, I used myself as a guinea pig years ago when I quit sugar. So when I had my relapse, I only turned to carbs, not sugar. So when I was eating sugar years before, I used to say, well, I was experiencing what I call the 3-day crud. And it was visibly noticeable. My personality would change. My energy levels would change. I became a different person. And I didn't want to be that person who's just less than better. I mean, just like less than. It's just like a tired, frazzled, fried, depressed, discouraged person when I can have energy and enthusiasm and excitement. And that's what food can do for you. It can bring you up or it can bring you down.
Or sometimes it'll bring you up and like pizza and you feel really, really good. You're like, I love this. And you forget how crappy you feel during the 3 days after and you eat another pizza. Like, don't forget about those 3 days afterwards. You're bloated, tired, cranky, but that reward. You're right. That reward is so drawing, where that pizza, that high, that dopamine release.
So what I suggest now is that people reward themselves in healthier ways. You can still reward yourself, but not with food, not with junk foods.
I know in my decades in practice, I've heard from patients that say it's easy to eat healthy during the day. That's easy because I'm at work, I'm confined. But the challenge comes in the evening when they come home, sit in front of the TV and find themselves snacking mindlessly. In chapter 16 of your book, you explore the concepts of mindless munching. Share with the listeners a tip or two. What can they do to control this mindless eating?
That's a good one. Yeah, mindless munching is a big one. I was just thinking about Netflix. I actually am a big fan of Netflix, but I never, ever sit in front of the TV and eat junk foods. That's just not what I do. So what you can do, if you feel like turning to mindless munching, you literally can, if you're in a nice environment, if the weather's nice, you can literally head outside and walk around the block for like a minute or two or five and take in nature's wonders. Or if the weather's bad outside, you can head on to the internet and find some nature videos. Those will soothe you in ways that eating junk foods never will. I mean, look, people turn to junk foods because they want to self-soothe or they want to distract themselves. And so if you find healthy alternatives, you're not going to do it. You won't want to do it because heading outdoors or looking at nature's wonders, I call it like fractals. So fractals are fingerprints of nature. They're found in leaves and branches and trees and seashells and rocks. And literally, the effects of fractals are almost instantaneous. That's what one top researcher told me. And so watching what fractal patterns can reduce your stress by 60%. So that's just one really, really simple technique to soothe you in ways that junk food never could.
Yeah, that's so true. I'm a nosher. I love to nosh. So I found my healthy alternate was to cut cucumbers into cubes, sprinkle a little spices and an extra virgin olive oil. And it takes time. Now I can, I don't want one and done. To do one Reese's piece, done? No, I need noshing. I need, but it's healthier. It's a healthier way to go from that popcorn I used to eat a lot of, which I wrote in my book that I gain weight. It's very fattening. But something like that, would you recommend? Or even celery, something that to keep their hands busy.
I like your cucumber idea. I actually have some, I am experimenting today. I actually had some cucumber yesterday and I just put some in the freezer just to see what it would taste like frozen. And I haven't tasted it yet because maybe I could come up with a cucumber popsicle.
Yeah, don't crack your tooth. I haven't tried that because it is mostly water. You're going to bite into an ice cube. I haven't had frozen cucumbers. I have thrown them into water before, but I've never bitten into them. Let us know. If I see you next time with a cracked tooth, I'll know not to try it.
But speaking of freezing things, one of my favorite things to do is I freeze berries, particularly like blueberries. So I have like half a cup of blueberries, different portions measured in the freezer. And it's like a treat. So there are healthy treats that you can have so that you're not going to eat those junk foods.
Yeah, very true. I know you mentioned about the calories. I'm glad you brought that in because people think weight loss is simply a matter of calories in, calories out. In your book, you talk about mindset, visualization, daily affirmations. Can you share maybe why lasting change is about so much more than what we eat? And you give us some mental strategies maybe that can contribute to some of our success?
So I think that a lot of people focus on willpower. So do I need to have the willpower to resist XYZ food? And what I'm suggesting instead is that people focus on and develop what I call goal power plus. And by that, I mean, you think about, well, why would I want to eat better? What would be the benefits to that? So would I have the energy to play with my family or my kids? Would I have the energy to get this major work project done? Would I just be happier? And focusing on those particular goals drives you in a way that willpower never can. And so that's why I call it goal power plus.
Yeah, I remember a few things you mentioned. We talked about willpower. You show the strength of support groups, friendship, finding your purpose, embracing hobbies. I love that. That's like, otherwise, you're bored. And I think routine and boredom creates more of an eating cycle. It's like you get busy. Don't sit there and like, oh, your hand, I'm going to feel like noshing, correct? Don't you want to get out and be active and do things to get your mind away from the refrigerator?
Yeah, I'm always fascinated when people talk about boredom because I'm never bored. I mean, there's so much to do in this world. And you set goals and you set dreams, or whether it's going on a 5-minute bike ride or a 26-mile bike ride or doing a TEDx talk, which is what I just did. That was one big goal.
It's like it's a few minutes, though, but you put 100 hours into that few minutes. It's like, wow. It's people don't realize the prep involved for one of those TED Talks.
Yeah, so I actually have one up now. It's called How to Tune Out Temptation, Eat Better and Feel Better, I think.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I love some of your acronyms. You have one that you've created called FEASTS. That's fast, easy, awesome, simple, tested strategies. Can you share one or two? What are some of your favorite feasts that somebody can implement today?
Okay, so here, let me just back up for 1 second. The reality is that we come face to face with what I call a junk foods jungle. And that means we are accosted by a flurry of tempting processed foods. There are like more than 230,000 ultra-processed foods in the grocery store alone. So wherever you go, whether you drive in, unless you're in like the desert and there's no civilization in sight, you're going to pass by donut stands or coffee joints or a whole bunch of places where you're going to be tempted nonstop. So instead, when you hit those fast, easy, convenient temptations, it's very easy to fall prey to them. What I encourage people to do instead is to develop some fast, easy, convenient tactics. And so one of them would be what I call, and people can't see me, so I'm going to have to describe what this is. This is my hug-hum rock relief process. So let's say, you know, you're going to go to a party, or you know, you're going to go grocery shopping, and maybe you're feeling like you really want to have some cookies or crackers or whatever. So instead, what I encourage you to do is turn on some music, listen to a couple of tunes, and then you wrap your arms around yourself. So again, people can't see me, but I'm actually wrapping my arms around myself. And then you can hug yourself and you're rocking. And then you can even like stroke your arms or stroke your head or stroke your thighs. Basically, it calms you down in a way that junk foods never will. The way I created this process basically is I really wanted to have movie popcorn. I've been doing it for months, for months. I would go into the movie theater, see popcorn, eat popcorn, and then feel awful about myself. And so one day I was like, okay, I got to figure out a way to stop this. And so that's what I did. I just started experimenting. But my background's as a journalist. So that one time, I basically did this whole process. I didn't have a name for it at the time. And for the first time in months, I did not have any popcorn. It was like amazing. I was like, whoa, why did this work? And that's when I looked at all these medical studies to find out what happened. And basically, I was combining a bunch of different tested science-based techniques that can either calm you down, so they lower your cortisol, or they release your levels of oxytocin, or dopamine can get in on the action. And literally, that's what doing the hug, hum, rock, relief process can do. So that's one really, really simple tactic. And hey, you can even do it with your friends, your family, and you also can do it surreptitiously. So you just kind of put your arms, you know, hug yourself under your arms so nobody even sees, nobody knows what you're doing. And that is one really simple way to self-soothe in an easy, fast, easy way.
Just don't do it at restaurants because they may turn the heat on. They think you're cold. And you're like, I'm sweating. You look like you were cold over there. Yeah.
Actually, you could still do it with nobody watching.
Yeah, nobody watching there. But speaking of laughter, you do a lot of humor in your book. Share what role did having a sense of humor play in recovery and resilience when it comes to food struggles?
Well, I think that I've been so used to eating cleanly for all these years. And when I was bouncing back from the whole experience and decoding exactly what had happened, I saw that my behavior was outrageous. Like it was just off the charts, weird. And I was like hanging out in movie theater, stuffing my face with movie popcorn. I was like eating carbs like they were going out of style. And so I found a cartoonist. And I was like, let's have some fun. Let's poke fun of ourselves. And there's actually research that suggests that when you see the humor in things, especially in yourself, it can actually help you to overcome it. And we had such a blast coming up with these like outrageous cartoons that were like, I think there was one cartoon where, so Isabella Bannerman is a cartoonist. I'm not a cartoonist. And the concept was to put a whole bunch of junk foods inside a coffin. You can actually find these cartoons on the website in color, ConnieB.com. And I mean, I can't begin to tell you how much we laughed about it. But particularly me, I was particularly entertained by the whole process. And so somehow by laughing at the craziness of what we will do helps you to rise above it and give yourself huge distance from it.
Yeah, they say food and laughter is the best medicine, but I always warn people not to do it at the same time or you'll choke. Yeah, they're not good in unison. You'll be like, but interesting, you mentioned their studies. There's one from the International Journal of Obesity that found a single good joke can burn up to 40 calories. A belly laugh increases your heart rate, oxygen intake, and helps the body burn fat. So LOL those pounds off. So I commend you for bringing humor. People don't realize that humor is so important and it releases those hormones and happy, and that makes you not want to crave junk. It gets rid of depression. So I think it's a win-win all the way around. So that's awesome.
It's very, very important to be able to laugh at yourself.
Believe so too, because then you can't hurt your feelings. Like, what are you laughing at? I take offense to that. No, it's you. You're very forgiving if you're laughing. You know what? If you laugh at yourself, it makes others want to join, and then you have a laughter party. So that's amazing. Talk to us about this blood sugar balance. It's called KetoMod meals. What makes KetoMod approach different from the traditional ketogenic diets?
Well, so when I developed this meal plan and I hired a couple of nutritionists to work with me, I didn't want the plan to be restrictive. I want it to be doable. So it is a low carb plan, but not as it's modified keto. So you eat quality carbs, vegetables, small amount of fruits. It's actually gluten-free and dairy-free. But I am telling you, these recipes are amazing. Like, you will have no idea that they don't contain any sugar. In fact, we even have some desserts. Like, when we came up with these desserts, I mean, I shouldn't say I didn't come up with them. These desserts are absolutely amazing. But I was like, okay, but let's not have too many desserts. We don't want to tempt people. But in my book, I Blew My Diet, now what we have, coconut spice, coconut crunch truffles, lemon coconut cream bonbons. Yeah, but they have like no sugar. They're truly amazing. Now, the thing about them is I encourage people, okay, go ahead and eat the portion that we recommend and then invite your loved ones to have the rest or get them out of the house.
Yeah, that's so true. I'm curious, out of the 21 reasons why people blow their diets, was there one in particular that surprised you that you uncovered during your research?
Yeah, I think that the one that really surprised me was the connection between previous trauma and the way that you eat. And I remember the day I was reading this one study and my jaw just dropped. Because I was like, oh my goodness, this trauma could be plaguing you years later, but affecting you in the way that you're eating. That to me was just mind-blowing. And so that may be why some people can't or haven't gotten their eating under control, because this trauma is still hounding them. So that's why I really focused on the 21 reasons. The first thing that you want to do is to discover why you are eating badly. So once I discovered I'm eating badly because I was dealing with this awful grief and PTSD after losing my mother. But for some of your listeners, it could be they just went through or are going through a difficult divorce or a breakup. So they may be doing divorce devouring or breakup binging, or it could be that they're a caregiver. And that's grueling. And they could be doing what I call caregiving chomping. Or there is the blood sugar issue as well. Some people, they like may skip. A lot of people, there's research that suggests that a lot of people skip breakfast. That is the worst thing to do for your blood sugar. You want to get your blood sugar up and level in the morning. So that can lead to blood sugar roller coaster scarfing.
Yeah. I'll tell you, I talk to a lot of people that write diet books, weight loss, exercise. You're the only one that's really emphasized healing the heart before healing your body. Why do you think so many diet books miss that vital emotional component? It's not mentioned much.
I mean, that's a very good question. I think a lot of people want to know, well, how do I do it? What do I do? And I think that that's part of the issue. I mean, I guess that's one of the reasons why I'm proud of my book. Yes, you want to heal your heart and you want to get emotionally balanced.
So let me ask you, if somebody's listening, they're in their car, they're biting into McDonald's, fattening food, they just blew their diet, they feel hopeless. What's the very first thing you want to tell them to do or not to do?
First thing to do is to shower yourself with compassion. You are human. Okay. You ate badly. That's okay. Hey, it's understandable. You were tempted, whatever it was that was going on in your life. You can then do, I mentioned the hug, hum, rock relief process, but you can literally, you could start talking to yourself. It's like, okay, honey, I'm so sorry you had such a tough time and you ate badly, but that's okay. I still love you. I mean, I know this may sound kind of simplistic and almost kooky, but there's actually research that shows that the power of compassion is amazing. Self-compassion can ramp up your motivation, boost your happiness, self-confidence, optimism, reduce anxiety, depression, stress, can make you more curious, creative, and it also can lessen your body shame and boost your body image. So really give yourself self-compassion.
Yeah, it's so true. A lot of people, they'll eat something bad for them. They go, oh, well, I'm lost. I'm going to keep eating poorly. In other words, I goofed and keep going. I always say, well, if you get lost in your car, do you go, well, I'm lost. I might as well get more lost. No, you find your way back home.
Well, and that's what I call the what the hell attitude. So basically, people are like, oh, I might as well have a bite of XYZ. Oh, what the hell? And next thing they know, they're like on a binge. And what I suggest that you do instead is you just ditch that what the hell attitude and you claim what I call a can control outlook. And if you believe that you can do it, if you believe that you can eat better, you will.
Yeah, that's so true. I know you coined the phrase bounce back boldly. Share with the listeners, what does that mean? Would you come up with that?
When I was working on this, I looked up the phrase bounce back. And basically bounce back means that you will return to the level that you were at before whatever difficulty you had. And that's fine. But to me, that felt like, well, darn, that's not enough. I don't want to just bounce back. I want to be a different person. I want to get to the stage where I'm better than I was and more powerful and more confident. And so that's when I added bounce back boldly. That's what bounce back boldly is. That you are not the person. I mean, my goal, people who read my book, I Blew My Diet, Now What? When they're done, they are a different person. They're better. They're bolder. They're happier. They're stronger. They're more empowered.
Yeah, so true. If you bounce back, you're just back where you were, which means you could falter again. Bounce back boldly, you're a little protected there. I like that. That keeps you a little stronger than, oh, that's how I was last week. No, you're better than you were last week.
I just say, well, vanilla flavor bouncing back just isn't enough. You want to outpace the old you. You want to bounce back with passion and pizzazz and purpose. You're reinventing yourself.
It's fantastic. In the minute we have left, is there anything else you'd like to share with the listeners that we didn't discuss today?
Well, I would just like to encourage listeners to, if they ate badly, forgive themselves, give themselves a hug, and realize that they can change and that they can develop a better relationship with food. When you have a better relationship with food, you have a better relationship with yourself.
Yeah, fantastic. That's what it's all about. Thanks for sharing such helpful insights. I'm sure people took good notes and you need to go out and get this book. It's called I Blew My Diet, Now What? The Easy Proven 21-Day Plan to Drop Pounds and Bounce Back Boldly. Not just bounce back. You want to bounce back boldly, as you shared. It's a fantastic read and I recommend everyone get a copy. You can get yours at ConnieB.com. And if you want a free chapter to read first, you can go to SneakPeekNow.com and you can follow Connie on Facebook at Connie Bennett. For my daily health post, you can follow me on Facebook at Dr. David Friedman. On Instagram, I'm at Dr. D. Friedman. And if you heard Connie share something today that somebody you know needs to hear, send them a link to this podcast. It's available to Your Good Health Radio and RadioMD.com. And peruse our podcast library and share segments of interest with friends, family, coworkers, and on social media. I always say this info is too important. Don't keep it to yourself. Don't be selfish. Sharing is caring. And you can also subscribe to our podcast on Apple, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. More to come. Stay tuned and stay bounced back well.